Hi everyone, I'm excited to be speaking at Planet Shakers Church. I'm going to be speaking on There's Freedom Here For You. So enjoy the message.
Well, let's get into the word then. Why don't we pray and we'll get straight into it. Father, we thank you that you are here. We thank you that you desire to move in our lives. We thank you that you are all powerful, all conquering, almighty, all amazing. God, we thank you that in you everything we need is found. And so we ask, would you come this morning and move upon our hearts and our lives? We open ourselves up and say, God, come and do whatever you want to do. In your mighty name, we pray this. And everyone with faith said,
amen.
That was half of us. There are other ones with faith said,
amen.
Okay, cool. Acts chapter 16. Let's get straight into it. We need to still wake up this morning, right? We'll try that again. It's the word of God. Acts chapter 16. Awesome. Okay, Acts chapter 16, verse 16. That's where we're going to start reading from. I'll give you a moment to get there in your Bibles, New Testament, Acts 16, verse 16. It says, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the Spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and their magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into the prison and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword, was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself, we are all here. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your whole household. This morning, I want to encourage us around a thought, encourage us around a word, stir us around under the word and the can't think of another word. Word that God has put in my heart today. If there's a title to what I want to share, it would be this. There's freedom here for you. I don't know if that excites any of us to understand that God would want to stir us, that there's freedom here for you. I don't know if you've got any situations going on that you go, well, there's freedom here for me. I want that. Thank you very much. I don't know if we've got any circumstances sitting in this room where we're going, I need the freedom touch of heaven in my life. I don't know if we've got any women who are at Beautiful Woman and you got your breakthrough, you got your encounter, you got your freedom, but you're ready to prophesy into your life afresh to say, do it again, Lord. I want more, Lord. If you're saying there's freedom here for me, I'm saying yes and amen. Maybe you weren't at Beautiful Woman because you're a man. Maybe you weren't there. But you understand if it's a brand new day, God's got brand new things. And if he's saying there's freedom here for me, I'm ready to amen that word right now. See, I don't know what you're facing right now that's trying to restrict you. I don't know what situations are going on right now that are trying to hinder you. What circumstances you might be facing that are trying to dictate to you right now. But what I do know is that my God is wanting to speak into the midst of those things and stir us today. There is freedom here for you. Now, I understand we've probably got some Bible scholars here. You read the Bible in the original Hebrew and the original Greek because you're just that kind of people. And you're like, give me a Bible verse to back that up. And because it's the year of double abortion, I won't just give you one verse. I'm going to give you two. You're welcome. I would go to Galatians 5 verse 1 and straight away I would encourage us that my Bible tells me that it is for freedom, that my Christ has set me free. He hasn't set me free, therefore, to live bound. He hasn't set me free, therefore, to live limited. He hasn't set me free to live restricted. He said he's set me free to live free. But then we could go straight away to John 8:36, and we'd see in John 8:36, it tells us that if the Son sets me free, I could be free indeed. No, it doesn't say that. If the Son sets me free, I might be free indeed. It doesn't say that. It says if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I don't know if we've got anyone who's excited about getting free in the house today. Anyone got any circumstances just saying, I want to be free today. I want to see a shift in those things today. There's freedom here for you. See, in this passage, we've got freedom going on all different levels. All different places. First up, you've got the slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. That's what it tells us. So she's a slave in the natural and a slave in the supernatural, bound in both dimensions. I don't know if you can relate to that, but I think sometimes we can often find ourselves struggling. The things that try and restrict us, the things that try and come against us, I find they don't just try and come against me in the natural. They're trying to hinder me and restrict me in the supernatural as well. They're trying to hinder and affect me in my faith walk too. It says in verse 16 that she earned a great deal of money for her owners. Why is that important? Because see, the enemy is always wanting to profit off of our bondage. He always wants to prosper from our restriction. He loves nothing more than to try and hinder us in the natural and the supernatural. I think he throws a party every time he thinks freedom's been locked out of your life and mine, just like I think he would have done when he saw Jesus nailed to the cross, taking his final breath, giving up his spirit. Can you imagine the devil and his demon mates in that moment? Boys, we've done it. I can imagine them high-fiving. I can imagine them fist-pumping. I can imagine them chest-pumping. I can imagine them getting ready to press play on their ghetto blaster or whatever it is they had back then. I can imagine them getting ready to party. See, 2,000 years ago, he was ready to party when he thought he'd won. He's still ready to throw a party today. Every time he thinks freedom's been locked out of your life and mine, what he seems to continually forget, though, is who's holding the keys now. That when my Jesus died on the cross, he didn't stay dead on the cross. When my Jesus was in the grave, he didn't stay in the grave. When my Jesus went to hell, he didn't stay in hell. No, my Bible tells me 3 days later, he walked out victorious. 3 days later, he walked out. Give me those keys. Give me that stuff back. You will not keep my people down any longer. And he rose again victorious. Why is that important to you and to me? Because that means whatever looks bound up, dead and buried in the natural in your life or mine, it's always ready to be resurrected and restored when my God is in the picture because he's holding the keys now. What looks down and out and hopeless is only one step away from being up and over and hope-filled right now when my God is in the picture because he's got the keys. What looks chained up, shackled up, restricted, just one encounter away from being restored and fired up and set free in Jesus' name because my Jesus has got the keys. See, the enemy never has the final say when you're connected to the one who holds the keys to your everyday. Let me say that just one more time. The enemy never has the final say when you're connected to the one who holds the keys to your everyday. See, I don't know what the enemy's trying right now to convince you is yours to live with. I don't know right now what are the lies that he's sown, got you to believe that have bought a wealth to his account that was never meant to be there. Wow. But what I do know is prison doors are always ready to fly open when my God is in the picture. Amen. Shackles are always ready to be loosed when my God is in the picture. Breakthrough freedom in the natural and the supernatural, always ready to be experienced when my God is in the picture. There is freedom here for you and here for me. It says in verse 16, she had a spirit by which she could predict the future. I've shared on this particular verse before. It messes me, this verse, because it tells us she had a spirit by which she could predict the future. She could predict the future, but she couldn't predict her freedom in that future. She could see ahead, but she couldn't see her freedom up ahead. that messes with me, because I think, how often is that my life? How often do I find myself so focused on what is consuming my attention right now that when I look at my future, I find myself predicting my future from my present, seeing ahead, but failing to see my freedom up ahead. T.D. Jakes says this statement. He says, it's dangerous to assume that what you will see out of life in the future will be similar to what you've seen in your life up until now. Dangerous. Dangerous, why? Because the truth is, your present, that's not your future. So the challenge for us, don't live like it will be. So what question does that bring in our lives? What eyes are we looking through right now in the areas that are troubling us the most at the moment? Is it our faith eyes, or is it our natural eyes? Is it what God says eyes, or what we see eyes? What picture are we putting before us in the areas we're needing to see a shift in? The one from God that builds our faith, or the one from the enemy that robs our faith? The one that says nothing is impossible for God, or the one that says nothing will be possible even with your God? See, in 2 Corinthians 4:18, Paul encourages us in something. He says, fix your eyes. Fix your eyes. Fix them on what? He says, fix your eyes not on what is seen. Why not on what is seen? Because he says, for what is seen is temporary. Yeah. Situation you're walking through, temporary. Circumstance you're facing, temporary. That scenario going on, temporary. He says, fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. See, I know sometimes that the situations, the things we seem to be facing, they can look so often like a mountain that we cannot see past. I know what that can feel like. I know sometimes they can seem like a mountain that we cannot move past. But what I've come to realize in my walk with God, what I've come to realize through the different mountains and situations and circumstances I've faced at different times, is mountains are never permanent structures when you are living in the kingdom of God. I say that again. Mountains are never permanent structures when you're living in the kingdom of God. What does that mean? It means they're temporary. Why? Because my Bible says, Matthew 21, that if I have faith as small as a mustard seed, teeny tiny faith. If I have faith as small as a mustard seed, I can say to this mountain, I can say to this scenario, I can say to this situation I'm facing, move from here to there. Get out of my way. It's not permanent. It's temporary. See, the purpose of mountains in your life and mine is not so they can stand on the top of us, but so God can take us to the top of them. It's not so they can push me down. It's so I can push them down under my feet where they actually belong. Get out of my way. Move from here to there. Temporary. 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 Some of us have got to start speaking to our mountains. You're temporary. You're not permanent. Don't you talk to me like you're sticking around. You're not sticking around for long. You're temporary. So Paul starts speaking to what's been speaking to him in verse 17. It says, this girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Love that part. In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the Spirit left her. What's happening here? Paul gets to the point where he says, enough is enough. He gets to the point where he decides, I'm not going to settle for this any longer. This situation, it's been talking to me for too long. This situation, it's been speaking to me for too long. I'm turning around. I'm going to start speaking to that. Where does he speak into? He doesn't speak into the natural level. It says he's into the natural level. He says he speaks to the Spirit. He speaks to the supernatural level. And he says, in the name of Jesus, I command you, get out of the way. And he got out of the way. See, just like we did a beautiful woman, for those of us who are there, sometimes we need to get up in the face of our problems. We need to get up in the face of our situations. We need to get up in the face of those things that have been talking to us for far too long. And we need to start prophesying to them in the name of Jesus. In the name, get out of my way. In the name of Jesus, move out of my way. In the name of Jesus, step out of my way. And let me tell you what my God says about you. You are not permanent. You're temporary. Some of us have got to start declaring some things over our lives. I declare freedom. I declare freedom over my health. I declare freedom over my finances. I declare freedom over my family. I declare what's profited from my restriction is now going to find itself bankrupt going forward, because the only deposit I'm making in that area is in the name of Jesus. Bank that in the name of Jesus. Cash that in the name of Jesus. Got to start speaking to these things. It says at that moment, the spirit left her. At that moment, freedom got released. Anyone in this room need an at that moment in your life? Just Natalie Joyce. Wow, depressing. Anyone need an at that moment in your life? And at that moment, fear left. And at that moment, sickness left. And at that moment, poverty left. And at that moment, intimidation left. And at that moment, loneliness left. I've needed some at that moments in my life. I've needed those things. And I found they come so often as I fix my eyes not on what is seen, what is unseen. As I fix my attention not on the natural but supernatural. To make a decision, I'm going to put my faith not on what I can see. I'm putting my faith in what I can't see, but I know he is going to do. Yeah. And then you see in this passage, this part I love. It says in verse 19, when the owners of the slave girl realized their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. We jump to verse 22. It says, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and their magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they'd been severely flogged, they're thrown into prison. The jailer was commanded to guard them carefully, and upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell, not just any cell, the inner cell, and fastened their feet in the stocks. I don't know if you can relate to Paul and Silas here. I don't know if you can relate to those seasons or those moments in life. You get an incredible breakthrough here, only to find yourself needing a breakthrough here. You get a freedom touch here, only to find yourself needing the freedom touch there. You get a shifting in that situation there, only to need a shifting in that situation there. You ever found in this Christian walk that we can find ourselves oscillating so quickly between stripping and beating up the enemy as we live this life of faith, to feeling stripped and beaten by the enemy because we're living this life of faith? It's like we thought becoming a Christian would mean all the arrows got moved out the way, and then we suddenly realized, no, it's actually like all the arrows have been repositioned our way. We oscillate between wow me moments to why me moments. I can relate to that sometimes on this journey of moving over to Geneva, and it's like, wow me, I get to do this. God, look at everything you're doing. To why me, this is so hard. Wow me, why me? It says that Paul and Silas got severely flogged. Ever felt like the enemy isn't just shooting one arrow at you or sowing one lie your way? I think sometimes I go, I think I could deal with one arrow. I could deal with one lie. But no, 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 it's like a barrage. It's like he's taking extra arrows out on lay-by just to use on you. Bing, 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 bing. You're like, what, all at once? You know, before I went to Geneva, I had some prophetic words given to me. Everywhere your foot treads, territory God's given you. Can I be honest with you? There was pockets of time in these last few months since I moved to Geneva where it was like everywhere my foot treads just turned to poo. I'm in an Airbnb apartment one time, the television breaks. Oh, praise the Lord. I kick something out under this cupboard, lost into eternity of the abyss, never to be seen again. I go to hire a car and I take out my driver's license only to find it expired back in May. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, so I ring up Vic Rose. Can I renew my license? No problem, madam. I pay my money, my $70. And I pay my money. I say, how quickly can you get this license to me? Well, madam, I actually noticed your photo is more than 5 years old, so you need to get a new photo. No problem. Where can I upload that to? Well, madam, no, actually, you can't upload that. You need to fill out this form and you need to get it witnessed by a person from the police force. But I'm in Switzerland. No problem. The Swiss police can do it. I go to the Swiss police. But madam, we cannot do this for you. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, you have to go to the embassy. I go to the Australian embassy, but it's lunchtime, so they're closed. Apparently in Geneva, the Australian embassy really take lunch seriously. And so I wait. It's the end of lunchtime. I get in the queue. I'm in the queue. I get to the front of the queue. This is what I want to do. I've got my form. I've got my picture. You just got a witness. Oh, madam, it's a Monday. We only do that on Wednesdays and Fridays. So quickly we can go from one to the other. It says the jailer was ordered to guard them carefully. You ever felt like all of hell's attention just focused in on you? See, sometimes we think being a Christian means the absence of problems. I've come to realize being a Christian does not mean the absence of problems. It just means we're now in a relationship with the one who holds the answers to those problems. Oh, that means there may be times the enemy can get me in a prison, but that means there'll never be a time when he can keep me there. Oh, he might be able to get me discouraged for a second, but there'll never be a time when he can keep me in that discouragement because my Jesus got the answer. 2 Corinthians 4:8, Paul says what? He says, we're hard-pressed on every side. In other words, he says, I know what it is to feel the pressure of situations pushing in on you. He said, we're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed. He goes, I understand what it's like to just have those moments. God, I don't get why this had to happen. I don't get. He goes, we've been perplexed. He goes, but you don't ever have to stand in the place where you're in total despair. He goes, we're persecuted. I know what it is, he says, to have the arrows just bing, bing, bing at you. But not abandoned. We never have to stand in that place. Struck down. He goes, I know what it is to feel like you've been sidelined by the attacks of the enemy, but never going to be destroyed. There may be times when the enemy can get us in a prison, take us out for a moment, but there'll never be a time when he can keep us there if we keep walking with our eyes on God. I wonder in the situations you're facing, in the circumstances, you need that freedom touch right now. I wonder if we need to just reposition our eyes back on God. Tells us that the jailer, verse 24, put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. It's interesting because I always thought or always pictured that it was their hands that were chained. I don't know what you pictured when with Paul and Silas in the prison, but it tells us it was their feet. See, because I've come to realize the things that hinder us the most, the things that affect us the most, the things that try and get at our faith journey the most, they're all centered around trying to affect our walk with God. So I don't know what stocks or what shackles are trying to affect your walk right now. I don't know what's trying to hinder your faith journey right now. I don't know what lies he's spoken out that you've allowed in right now. But simply my question this morning is, what is going to be your response to them? What is going to be your response in that moment? Tells us in verse 25, Paul and Silas, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What will be your response in the darkest part of your night? Darkest part of your situation? Darkest part of your circumstance? Can I suggest to you, it won't be your response in your worst day if it hasn't been your response in your everyday. Because the life we live will always be a result of the lifestyle we've cultivated. You think about Job in Job chapter 1, he's just lost everything. What does it say he does? Job 1 verse 20, it says he falls to his knees in worship. You can't do that in your worst day if you have not been doing that in your everyday, because it's how you face your everyday that enables you to face your worst day. So what do we see Paul and Silas doing? What was their response? It says they were praying. What's the challenge there? Don't stop talking to God, even when you feel like you're walking through a situation where he stopped talking to you. So often we silence what actually needs to be voiced. We internalize what actually needs to be verbalized. We say, God, I'll deal with this myself. Take a coffee break, God. He's going, I don't even like coffee. I want to deal with this situation with you. Would you let me into? They were praying. And then it says they were singing hymns to God. What's the challenge? Don't stop being a praiser and a worshiper, even when it seems like it did for Paul and Silas, like that's what got you in the situation in the first place. God, it seems like because I made that decision, I'm going to be on fire for my God, that all of this stuff seems to happen. It seems, God, like it's the moment that I asked you into my life that all this stuff seems to have been starting to go on. God, it seems like since I made that decision to get water baptized, now I see all these tough times. It seems like this is what got me in the situation in the first place. Don't stop being a praiser. Don't stop being a worshiper. See, it's easy to fear. It's easy to be discouraged. It's easy to be disappointed when we're facing situations. It's easy to doubt. How do I know it's easy? Because I've chosen easy routes at times. It's easy to do those things, but it takes guts. It takes courage. In New Zealand, we would have said it takes mana to trust God, to persevere, to keep praising, to keep worshiping, to keep talking to God at the very moments when silence seems to be the thing the environment around us would call for. See, for Paul and Silas, the environment around them that had them chained up and tied up called for silence. Shh. Don't make a sound. You're walking through this, don't you praise? Don't you worship? Don't you make, that's what the environment around them called for. But what I've come to realize is our response will always be based on the environment we are more focused on. Our response in those situations we walk through, it's always going to be based more on the environment I am more focused on. See, you can't silence me when I've already got a revelation that I've been released to shout. You can't bind me up when I've already got a revelation that I've been set free. You cannot reject me when I already know I'm accepted. You cannot tell me I'm defeated when I already know through my God I'm victorious. It's always based on the environment, the atmosphere we're more focused on. See, when you keep praying, when you keep praising, when you keep worshiping, in the midst of the very situations that would try and say, shut up. Do you know what it does in that moment? It smothers fear with faith. That's when you get up in the face of the enemy. You say, you may have been able to get me in a prison for a moment, but let me remind you, my freedom that Jesus paid the price for is going to keep you in a prison for eternity. There's freedom here for you. My question simply this morning is, what is your response going to be? Perhaps we can have the keyboard player come. I wonder this morning what areas you're walking through and you go, I need his freedom touch. I wonder what circumstances you find yourself walking through, you go, I need to experience his freedom encounter. I wonder what areas are contending for your faith or your focus over, what areas you need an at that moment in a suddenly of heaven to invade. I wonder what situations or circumstances. This morning you just need a fresh revelation of the victory he has for you. You've been looking at the future but struggling to see your freedom in that future, looking ahead but struggling to see your breakthrough up ahead. Maybe there's situations that have been just talking at you. They've gone on a while now. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not moving. You'll deal with me forever. I'm in your life forever. They've just been talking at you, and this morning you want to see those voices silence. You want to see that situation silence. You want to turn to it in the name of Jesus. You are temporary. You are temporary. See, this morning I believe God has a fresh encounter for you with his freedom. Truth is, anywhere God is, there's freedom. He's here. I believe he has a fresh touch for us in those areas that we need to see the breakthrough in. And so if you have situations going on right now and circumstances you're facing, and you're sitting there and you're going, God's saying he's got freedom touch for me. He's got freedom encounter for me. And your response is, I want that. I'm just going to ask you simply stand to your feet. Life of our church, we always get us standing, always get us responding. What are we doing? Put physical steps to the supernatural steps we're believing to see happen. Well, I hope you enjoyed the message today and got encouraged by the fact there is freedom here for you today.
Can I encourage you to check us out on our social media platforms at Planet Shakers, and of course join us on our website planetshakers.com.